This is CBS News Bay Area with Juliet Goodrich.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us at 7. It is a region that produces our milk, cheese, eggs, and meats. But a controversial measure could bring big changes to the landscape of Sonoma County's farming industry. This November, voters will decide whether to ban so-called factory farms. If approved, Sonoma County would be the first in the nation to do so. Animal rights activists say it's to put an end to the cruel treatment of animals. But farmers and even some county leaders say it's an attack on a critical industry. Our Brian Hackney looks at the potential impact.
We're in the Petaluma Dairy Belt, where the winds and the fog can come in and keep the grass a little warm, moist. It's a great place to have dairy farms, and that's why we have a concentration of them down this way.
There are about 3,000 farms in Sonoma County, but a new measure on the November ballot is targeting 24 of the biggest. Christina Garfinkel is with the Coalition to End Factory Farming.
Measure J is a local ballot initiative that aims to stop concentrated animal feeding operations in Sonoma County.
Measure J would outlaw larger animal farms and those defined as polluting the water in Sonoma County. Such farms are called CAFOs, concentrated animal feeding operations, euphemistically factory farms.
Everything is wrong with Measure J. It is a disaster for Sonoma County.
David Rabbit is the chair of the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors and is opposed on every level, including the hit to the economy.
$500 million impact to the county's economy.
You would dispute that?
I would.
John Haveman is a consulting economist supporting the measure.
I mean, so the economic impact analysis says, suppose we remove virtually all animal farming from Sonoma County, which is a very different thing.
And just ask what a large farm, a CAFO, is.
CAFOs are major polluters. They pollute groundwater, surface water, and they're cruel to animals.
Lies, 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 and more lies.
Kathy Tresh has worked on her big family farm most of her life, and her daughter.
I'm 33 years old. The property has been in my family since 1905. I'm the fifth generation, and my children are the sixth.
Of course, both reject the notion that all big farms are necessarily big polluters.
We were the environmentalists of the year in Sonoma County one year. We've had Stewards of the Land Award.
She's also offended by the suggestion her family mistreats their 750 cows.
It's completely false. For one thing, being certified organic, the National Organic Program has stringent requirements of how our animals are to be treated.
But at another farm, not the Tresh family's, organizers allege they took pictures of distressing conditions.
I've seen these horrific conditions firsthand, and I've reported them to law enforcement repeatedly, but nothing has been done.
You trespassed to take these pictures?
Well, I believe that trespass is a very specific definition. I have entered without specific permission from the owner, yeah.
When he did, activist Louis Bernier said that he took these undercover pictures of crowded, deformed, and dead birds in this Sonoma facility.
They're estimated to confine over 230,000 chickens inside these industrial sheds.
But bear in mind, the County Farm Bureau said isolated incidents of mortality occur on any farm despite the best animal care practices. And it is grossly misleading to portray these photos as representative of conditions at family farms. And as for family farms,
we milk around 700 cows on two separate dairies because we're a multi-generational farm. And we're on over 2,500 acres. So we're not a factory farm.
But both sides agree on one thing.
I think if this passes, our farm would be gone.
Yeah. It would. We would be shut down.
As for how many big farms would be shut down,
it's hard to say, you know, but one farm is too many.
But to activists, one picture like this may be too many. One thing is certain. If Sonoma votes to shut down its large farms, it'll be the first time that's ever happened in the entire country.
The best estimate is that if Measure J passes in November, about 24 large Sonoma farms will be forced to close, including the Tresh family's farm. In recent years, California voters approved two separate statewide ballot measures that established minimum space requirements for livestock. Pork farmers challenged one of those laws in the Supreme Court, but they ultimately lost. And now even out-of-state farmers must abide by the rules or lose the right to sell their product in California. Meanwhile, health officials are now reporting the second human case of bird flu tied to an outbreak in dairy cows. They say the patient is a farm worker from Michigan who was in contact with cows that were likely infected. The worker had mild symptoms and has since recovered. The CDC is now looking into how the virus spread from an animal to human. And just this year, bird flu, which typically shows up in poultry, has spread to dairy cows. Herds in 9 states tested positive. No cases have been reported in California. All right, on to Redwood City. Firefighters on the scene knocking out the last of this fire that erupted from a metal recycling plant, sending a lot of dark smoke into nearby neighborhoods. The fire department tells us it was a metal scrap pile that caught on fire at the plant, consisting of items like water heaters, small and large scrap metal, and even cars. The pile caught fire right before the items were supposed to get shredded. For more on where the wind is blowing the smoke, let's get right to Chief Meteorologist Paul Hagan.
Yeah, Jules, we always worry about the smoke and the potential toxins within that smoke in a situation like this. So I'm standing on our 3D map roughly where the fire occurred. I'm going to turn on the wind streamline so we can track that wind as it follows the terrain. And basically, this afternoon, the wind was flowing parallel to the coastline of the bay. So it takes the smoke from around Redwood City and blows it down the bay until you see where the wind streamlines kind of disappear here. It's where the winds were quite a bit lighter. So the wind doesn't disappear, but it's light enough that the computer stops tracking it. And that is where the smoke was then deposited towards ground level. When the wind died down enough, those particulates settled down towards the surface, and that impacted air quality, which is now improving. Let's zoom out once again and take a look at the air quality map from our purple air sensors and where that smoke really was concentrated, mainly around the south end of the bay, particularly towards Mountain View and into the Sunnyvale area. Now we're back into green dots on the map, a lot of orange and even red earlier. So the situation is improving. That's good news in the short term, and we'll hope that we don't have any of the flare-ups happening through the rest of this evening at the site of that fire. We'll take a look ahead to Memorial Day weekend with the forecast for the whole Bay Area coming up in just a few minutes.
Paul, thank you. In Oakland, major new developments in the long, drawn-out saga of the Coliseum site. The city today announced a tentative deal to sell its share to a developer. As Wilson Walker shows us, it's an agreement aimed at bringing new affordable housing and outdoor space to the prime piece of land.
Yeah. I like to see that. But what about the jobs? You know, who's going to get the jobs? Are they going to have jobs for people here or what?
He has heard all of the talk about the proposed $5 billion redevelopment of the Oakland Coliseum site, but Mike, a nearby neighbor, admits to being a little skeptical.
I don't know. I know the value of the land's worth a lot, but I don't know. I don't see any master plan here.
They've created 3D digital models, 2D site plans, and policies to promote development without displacement.
The site, as envisioned by Castlemont students, was part of the city's announcement that it is selling its half of the Coliseum land to the African American Sports and Entertainment Group, completing a process that was announced to much fanfare in 2023. Mayor Sheng Tao declined to speak on how this might help the city's budget deficit, but she promised returns beyond the minimum sale price of $105 million.
Once we finish this off, that there is a clause in there that demand for community engagement, and not just that, but strong community benefits.
Part of that would be a 25% affordable housing requirement, but many hurdles remain. First among them, the Oakland A's still own half of the site.
I'm under an NDA with respect to our negotiations with the Athletics, so I can't expand on that too much, but I can say that we are in healthy negotiations and they've continued.
Like one by one, places are closing around here, you know. Denny's, a restaurant over here, that's closed, yeah.
Mike has watched this area fall on hard times in recent years, and he would love to see some improvements.
In housing, well, that's the biggest problem now is housing.
Then there is the reality of the time and cost involved. So does Mike think there might be any kind of progress here in, say, 10 years?
10 years, I don't know. It's possible, but I don't know.
plenty of uncertainty surrounding all of this and a lot of little complexities as well. For example, the city has to finish paying off its share of the 90s renovation of this complex before any sale can be finalized. That is expected to happen sometime next year.
And some major political news in Oakland. The former top cop, LaRon Armstrong, officially running for Oakland City Council. He filed for candidacy this morning for the at-large seat, which is currently held by Vice Mayor Rebecca Kaplan.